Cracker Jack ace reporter from the New York Post, who is hounding racist lawyer Aaron Schlossberg. Kevin Fasig joins us on the line. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine. Now, Kevin, where are you? Are you still tracking down old Aaron Schlossberg this morning?
Actually, I'm staring at his front door as we speak.
Where does he live?
Where's he holed up?
I was on the west side, West 60th Street, over near Amsterdam. Nice, quiet neighborhood, and, people going, coming to work, and waiting on, looking, staring at a front door, and ready to move if necessary.
Now, you don't think he's going to answer you. I mean, yesterday you chased him all the way down the street. He was hiding behind his umbrella. The video's hilarious. Right. And you're asking him questions like,
Aaron, why won't you show your face? I mean, don't you understand by those things you said yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, there were numerous questions, and certainly, I was just trying to get a response. Sometimes you ask a question two or three times, somebody doesn't respond, and then finally they may just say, hey, okay, I'm going to speak. Hey. And sometimes you can elicit a response that way.
Kevin, he was running away from you. Did he say anything to you at all, or he was just terrified that you were going to pin him down?
He did not say a word to us, but he... It appeared that he called the police. Certainly sounded like he was on the police, and the police later showed up at his apartment, but he was gone by then. But he was on the phone and, saying that he basically needed help.
He needed help to get away from people like you. That's what he needed help for.
Kevin,
obviously you're asking provocative questions like this one.
At what age did you decide you wanted to be a racist like this?
I mean, really, Kevin. I mean, at some point, are you just afraid he's going to haul off and belt you?
No, not at all. That's the last thing I'm thinking about when I'm on the job. And at my former job that I had before this, that was kind of what I did for a living. I was a boxer.
For
a few years, and that's certainly the last thing I'm thinking about. I mean, obviously, I don't want that to happen, and I wouldn't engage in a fight anyway, as I'm working. So I really wasn't concerned about that.
Didn't you get into it once with Alec Baldwin on the street?
That is true. He threatened me, and he was in my face and saying things like, "Step back, pal. You don't want to get hurt, do you?"
Did he know you were a boxer and you got to pound at him?
No, he had no idea. And then we later we challenged him to a charity boxing match to benefit GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And he had made allegedly homophobic comment the day or so before and didn't hear anything about that. But in that piece, we talked about how Joe Frazier, my manager when I was a boxer,
Joe Frazier, smoking Joe Frazier?
That was my manager. I turned pro with him. My professional debut, October 24th, 1986. First knockout.
I
jumped on Joe Frazier's shoulders at the end of that.
Wow. And what kind of record did you have?
Not fabulous. I was never going to make $1 million. I finished like, I think, 6-3.
So tell me, is this your full-time job chasing people down the street to get comments? Is this what you do for a living, Kevin?
That can be part of the job at times. There are certainly times sometimes people don't want to talk or you do have to catch them and try to get them to, listen to some sort of comment. Anthony Weiner, Alec Baldwin, Governor Spitzer, whomever your name is.
Boy, you get all the winners. You get all the classy ones, Kevin.
Well, yeah, but then there are sometimes jobs when you're staking out an alleged bad guy or whomever or a person of interest. And you may sit there all day and absolutely nothing happens. The way I've characterized it before, the job is often long stretches of boredom punctuated by a few moments of insanity.
Hey,
and
Kevin.
I think that characterized yesterday.
Kevin, have you talked to anybody who lives in Aaron Schlossberg's building? What do they say about this guy?
I haven't really talked to somebody right now. When we got here yesterday, I was here for a very short time when I spotted him coming out of the building. So it really wasn't even if I had not seen him, that certainly would have been what I would have gone to. Mm. But at that point, that just took over everything.
So you've been doing this how many years now?
I've been with the New York Post for over 10 years now.
Okay, what's one of your best scores of an interview from your street ambush work?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, like I said, that's not the main thing. But I mean, like I said, I've gotten Anthony Weiner. When Weiner was when he was the first scandal. I know it might be difficult to keep track of.
Yeah, it is. But,
yeah, sorry, but when he was the congressman and he came out and he made the announcement, but didn't tell anybody whether he was going to stay in office or keep his position. And I found him exclusively at his attorney's office through our sources. And when he came out, I talked to him, and he had been sort of mean to me a couple of days earlier, like was, you know, unbelievably self-righteous and sort of yelling and whatever little. And he was trying to walk away from me this time. And I was like, really? After, you know, the way you treated me the other time, and now you admit it and you still won't talk to me? And he stopped and talked to me exclusively on the street. I filmed it, and it blew up pretty big. He told me he was going to depend on staying in his position as congressman, and that blew up all over the internet and such, just like I'm assuming this one did.
Hey, Kevin, if Aaron comes out this morning, what is the first question you're going to pose to the racist lawyer?
Well, I'm not 100% positive. It all depends on what his demeanor is. You know, you take it as it comes. You know, I'm just going to try to talk to him. We're like, look, I honestly want to give this guy a chance to speak, you know, to hear his side of the story. You know, there may be other reporters around, so that may sort of put a limit on what specifically, you know, I can ask or direct the interview. But I want to talk to this guy. I'm a reporter. I try to, you know, check my own opinions at the door, certainly as much as possible, and just ask him, you know, what's going on? Like, how did you get, what happened that you, why would you, what led to you that you would espouse those views that you did the other day?
I just like the psychological study that you did here.
At what age did you decide you wanted to be a racist like this?
Classic. Kevin, that's classic.
Well, I was told that a few people or so have enjoyed that line.
We've been playing it all morning.
Well, as I think, you know, there might be another similar. I asked a similar question to Elliot Spitzer, dealing with his alleged faux pas and such with a woman that he had been involved with, where I had asked him, so at what age did you realize you enjoyed? And I think she had said something about she was on a leash at one time.
Whoa. Oh, baby.
Allegedly.
Kevin Masick from the New York Post. Thanks, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Kevin. You know you're in serious trouble if the Post puts Kevin Masick on your case.
And you admit to being in a leash.
That's right. There you go.